Well, thanks for praying with me. Always a delight. If you would like to join me for prayer, if you're on hold, I'll get you on, or at least I'll do my best to do that. There's a line or two open. Here's the number. If someday you're really down and out and you say, look, I just need the prayers of the spiritual family, it's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. You can also get your prayer intentions on the air. Maggie, my fearless producer, will be monitoring our Twitter account, and she does a fantastic job at it. The Twitter account for the Drew Mariani Show is at Drew Mariani Show. Pretty simple, right? At Drew Mariani Show. And just post your intentions, Maggie. We'll try to share some of them a little bit later in our chaplet today. And, of course, follow me at Drew Mariani and send me your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. Love getting those answered prayers. And I just want to welcome a new colleague of mine here at Relevant Radio, a recent graduate of Notre Dame working now in our engineering department. It's great to have Lauren praying with me today. It's the first day she'll be praying the chapel with me. And I want to welcome you to Relevant and also thank you for joining us for this time of prayer.
Awesome. Thanks, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin the chapel?
I think just for a lot of, you know, my graduate friends who are transitioning into a new phase of life, that they may find peace and confidence in the Lord in that, and also just for my family.
Great prayers. Let's pray for all those who are underemployed and unemployed and all those looking for jobs or career changes. Lord, just bring them all to you. I want to pray for Dolly and Craig Foster, two friends of mine who I get to see every September. I want to pray for Craig. They're running into a medical situation with him, and they really need a miracle. They need God's will to be done in the situation. So I know how stressful it can be when you're dealing with those types of situations. And Dolly, we're praying for you and for Craig and for your beautiful family. You know, bring you to our spiritual family here. Natalie, who's having eye surgery tomorrow, has reached out for prayer. And lots of different intentions coming in. But I just want to share one or two other emails that came in. This one says, I've got two answered prayers, Drew. The first is a coworker earlier this year actually had a spot in her lungs that was believed to be cancer. She has a history of cancer. She underwent CT scans and a biopsy. And when she first told me about this cancer diagnosis, I started to pray the chaplet for her. And I just want to stop on this point. I love this. You know, you hear about a colleague, a friend, somebody in the family, and you say, I'm going to pray for you. Do it. Prayer works. When you petition on behalf of somebody else, I know God's heart is moved. It's an act of charity. It's an act of mercy. The lady wrote back. She says, the prayer of the chaplet is so powerful. These prayers were answered. That spot was not cancer. She is completely now recovered. The second was for my nephew who got married over the weekend and received a large cash gift during the reception. It was put in his coat pocket. The next day, his mom and I stopped to see him, and his wife told us that the envelope was lost. Well, they searched the car, the house. They called the wedding hall. They called the hotel. Nobody reported finding this envelope full of cash. My nephew drove back to the hotel to see if anybody had turned it in, and the mother and I said, you know what? Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplet that somehow, some way, that this will be returned. So as we were praying the chaplet, within minutes of completing it, received the phone call. It was my nephew. The envelope was found, and every penny was in there. I just want to praise God. And I love it. God answers big prayers. Cancer can disappear. And test results can come back in your favor. Those lost keys or license or passport or documents or envelopes full of cash, you know, they can be found. They can be returned. This is such an extraordinary prayer. And Faustina would pray it for souls who were in their final moments and their eternity hung in the balance. And she'd pray it for something as simple as rain. And God always honored her prayers. And the Lord says, anything you ask of me in virtue of my passion, through this beautiful prayer, the chaplet, it'll be granted if it's, you know, according to my will. And the one prayer he said he always answers is that prayer for conversion of sinners. So let's really pray for that today. I'll try to get maybe a call or two more on if we can this afternoon. And I also have a little follow-up. After the chaplet, I got an email from a guest that was on yesterday. I was talking about whether or not the consecration of Russia was taking effect. And she just shared with me a very interesting story about the Russian military. I'll share that with you. But let's pray right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today, Lauren. We'll go to Edward, listening in Elk Grove, California. Edward, thanks for praying with us.
Hey, Drew, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
I want to lift up all the prayer warriors. I have a friend, Stephanie. She's a just met, and she's a powerhouse Christian. She actually helps children, people like out in Africa and many different countries. And she's having stomach issues, and her kid has autism, so she doesn't get a lot of rest. So I just want to lift up her, make her feel better, and just pray for those people who are martyred in Nigeria or anywhere around the world.
Such beautiful prayers. Great prayers, Edward. Thank you. I'll pray for your friendship there. God continue to work in it. We'll pray for all those who battle autism, those who have special need children. And I love his prayer for Nigeria, for the martyrdom that we are seeing around the world, people of faith. Lord, give us the fortitude and the strength to carry the crosses that you have given us. I pray for those extraordinary graces for those you call to martyrdom, and give us those graces in our own life. We may not be asked to lay down our life, but so often we are called to die for you in other ways. And allow us to very visibly see those opportunities, and with that heroic virtue, with that trust, with that faith, that love for you, be willing to make that sacrifice. Lord, I give to you all those who pray with me, every one of Edward's prayers, and give you my heart and all those I promised to pray for. And we bring these intentions to you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and from those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call. Bernadette's praying in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good afternoon, Bernadette.
Good afternoon, Julian. First of all, I want to apologize for bothering you so much. I was told to keep it short, so I'm going to try. I just wanted to tell you that I've been in the hospital. I had a real bad accident on my way to church on Corpus Christi Saturday evening, and I never made it to church. I've been in the hospital over 2 weeks, and I've got a very badly messed up arm and 5 fractures. And I'm home now, but I want you to please pray for my son, Robert, and his wife, Devette, my daughter, Susan, and my daughter-in-law, what's her name, Julie. She's in the middle of COVID. Right. My son, Stephen, has been helping a lot here, taking care of me, but he had to stay home with her, of course. But Robert and Susan flew from their states where they live to help me get over this horrible accident.
Well, Bernard, let me just give you a suggestion. I know you have a lot of intentions, and I'm deeply sorry for what you went through. I say it all the time when I hear stories like yours, you know, and we go about our way to church or to school or to work or wherever it may be, and you never know how life can change. Somebody texting or drinking can go through a light or into your lane, and life can radically change. You know, accidents also happen. We make mistakes. You are suffering right now. I know you have multiple fractures. I can tell you're pretty stressed by all that is swirling around you. Take this opportunity and offer it to the Lord. Unite all this suffering, all this anxiety, and give it to God. Put it on the cross. And I know you've got children you're praying for here, those three beautiful children of yours. Offer what you're going through up for them. You know, Scripture tells us not to fret, right? Not to have any anxiety about everything, but in every circumstances, all circumstances, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and make known your needs to God. And God hears you, especially in moments like this. So Lord, I give you all those who are in crisis situations, those who are recovering from accidents, those who are deeply suffering. Lord, those who are just in difficult situations that they see no way out of. I give you these souls. I want to pray for that prisoner who wrote to me the other day in Arizona for his situation and all the incarcerated. And I humbly just come to you and I give you these intentions as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to our third deck, Gabrielle will be praying with us in New Mexico. Let me go to Maggie. She has been monitoring those intentions of yours that are coming in. So at Drew Mariani Show for the Twitter handle, and you can get your intentions up there. I am also going to the Holy Land in October. That'll be here before we know it. And if you've written to me, if you sent those intentions in, I will pray for you in a lot of the holy places that I will be at too. And you can always go to relevantradio.com/Drew and you'll see a little window where you can put those particular intentions in. But I'm going to pray for all of these intentions. Everybody who's written to me, everyone who calls in here, you're with me every day, everywhere I pray. So know that you got a friend in me and a prayer warrior in me. Maggie, what's coming in?
Thanks, Drew. Denise wrote to us on Twitter and she said, please pray for me in negotiations for the sale of my commercial building. Need the sale without losing everything. Gave them my final counter offer, praying that God helps me with the right decisions. Annalisa wrote to us and said, please keep my mom Hilda in prayer. She had minor surgery today and praying that all of her labs come back clear and for a speedy recovery. Roy wrote to us and said, praying for my beautiful wife that her CT scan comes back perfectly clear on July 29th. Please watch over my Susan, Lord, please. Mary wrote to us and said, please pray for Claire that she is finally hired for the job that she has had 3 interviews for and an upcoming 4th interview this afternoon. I pray for the intentions of everyone praying this chaplet today. God bless you. And one last one here from Kaminsky. Hey, Drew, can I submit a prayer request for my friend to come back to the church? He is in law enforcement.
Wow. That's a great prayer. And as I was saying when we began here, absolutely, we'll certainly pray for him to come back to the church. I'm so convinced, I would wager my house and everything I own on this promise of the Lord. And he told St. Faustina, that's the one prayer that is always heard and answered, that prayer for the conversion of sinners, that prayer for conversion. You know, it does not go unanswered. If God does not manifest that response in your lifetime, and you're praying for your children or your grandchildren, I guarantee you there'll be people and opportunities that will bring about the conversion of friends and family and loved ones. The Lord will make that happen. And if not, he'll certainly reach out in an unprecedented way in their final moment. The Lord hears these prayers. I really want to pray for conversion for all those we love, for our spouses, for our children, maybe for our parents, our coworkers like this. And Lord, we stand on that promise. And I ask, because that's what's all important, health and finance and all these other things. It doesn't matter. It all goes away one day anyway. What matters is eternity, being with you. And I just pray that you give all of us that grace that we need. Pour it upon us. Fill our hearts with it. Lord, give us the grace of conversion so we may grow in holiness and in virtue and may know and love you as we were created to do. Gabriella is praying with us in New Mexico. Gabriella, thank you for taking time to call in. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon. I'd like to ask for prayers for my granddaughter, Janae, who has leukemia. And her chromosome numbers are going up. If they go up anymore, she'll need a stem cell transplant. And for Maria, who has a baby next week, a safe delivery, no complications, and a healthy little girl. And for me, I'm having glaucoma surgery on the 1st, that it's no complications, and that he knows what he's doing.
Amen to that. I'm with you. I'd be nervous too. Gabrielle, we're going to pray for all these intentions, but especially for your eyes. And I've been praying for a friend of mine. Her name's Natalie, and she called, and she has a surgery tomorrow, actually, on her eye. And how troubling it'd be. She lost her vision temporarily. I'm going to pray for you and for your glaucoma. I'm going to pray for all of those intentions you have for your family and all that you've voiced. Lord, I give you the eyes, and I ask that. On twofold, anyone who is having problems with glaucoma or macular degeneration or issues with their vision or their sight or blurred vision, whatever it may be, I just ask you heal and enter that. For all those who have physical ailments with the body now, I ask again for you to heal. For those facing surgery, I ask you be the hands of the surgeon. And I also just ask you to remove the scales from our eyes, those spiritual blinders that are on so many, so that we may recognize you in others. And that we may see things with true perspective. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from San Antonio, Texas. Hot there today. Cecilia, good afternoon. How are you holding up?
It's hot, yeah. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
First, I wanted to give a prayer of thanksgiving for all answered prayers to many to name, and definitely for a prayer for financial security. I'm about to embark on a new business adventure, and I pray God bless it. Pray for my boys and their vocations in life. Hopefully the Lord bless us with that we can buy our own home soon. Oh. And, of course, the end of abortion and euthanasia around the world. I totally want to be done with that.
Amen to that. Well, that's a generous prayer too. Hey, we'll be praying for you right now. I'm glad you got through. Starting a business is difficult, and pray every day. You know, they say most small businesses fail within the first 5 years. So be prudent, a lot of prayer, and let's pray for complete success for you right now. I want to entrust that. Lord, I ask you insulate, protect, bless, and multiply for Cecilia. I pray for financial abundance. I pray that she may have wisdom in leading this business. And if it's not meant to be, that you give her the wisdom to get out, to make the right decisions for those who will work with her, for the encounters she'll have. I pray for all small businesses right now that are struggling. I want to pray for everyone who right now is dealing with financial hardship. The credit cards are getting higher. The interest rates are going up. The debt is mounting. And they're concerned. They're anxious. I pray for those underemployed, unemployed, those who just need the eradication of their debt. And Lord, so often these seem like impossible situations. There's no way out. It would take me a decade, take me two decades to ever get out from under this debt. But you can change things in a second. And I just entrust to you these impossible situations. I give you one of those heavy burdens, that burden of finance. And I just ask for real blessings now on Cecilia, her intentions, and all those who share in these struggles. So I come to you now with all who are united with me as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Barb, listening in Rosemont, Minnesota. Hi, Barb, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I am calling for prayers for my sister-in-law, Jerry, who has an open wound. She's in a wheelchair. And I had called in 4 months ago when this initially started, and it was starting to heal. She was able to go home, and she's been home since her birthday, which is in June.
Wow.
But now it is infected, and my brother is irrigating it for her. And she's going to have surgery August 23rd. And we're just praying that they'll be able to get this whole thing fixed for her, that she'll be able to go home and get well.
Yeah, well, a lot of intentions. A lot of intentions today for health, for surgery, for upcoming procedures. Let's entrust her to the Lord, Barb. We're going to do that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did you call a couple months ago? I don't know how long ago it was. Did your brother or brother-in-law fall from like a tree stand? He had broke his back?
Correct.
How's he doing?
He broke his pelvis.
His pelvis,
actually.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It was his back. Excuse me. He is able to walk around. He gets out to his son's bait shop now. So that's a good thing.
Well, praise God.
He seems
all right,
to be recovering.
Let's pray. We'll pray for you now, Barb, too. Thank you for calling. I want to pray in particular for your sister-in-law. Hey, Lord, I pray for all those who are the victims of accidents and tragedies and falls and who are facing medical needs and care. And I just ask for your divine touch as leprosy vanished, as the lame were able to walk, as sight was restored, Lord. Just ask you to do the same thing today for all those united with me in this beautiful prayer, so heavily indulgenced with your promise. And I just ask you to hear the prayers of the hearts of all who are now crying out to you. Let me grab another call or two here as we pray this final decade. Mary is going to join us. She's in North Carolina. Hi, Mary.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. My sister passed away suddenly on July 3rd. I pray for her soul. I'm a nurse manager at a crisis pregnancy center, and I pray for all pregnancy centers in this country, and that God protects us and guides us where we need to be. And also for my daughter who has anxiety, and just that she comes back to the church and that God leads her. And for my parents, dealing with the loss of my sister.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't imagine what your parents are going through. My heart goes out to you too, Mary. I'm really sorry. Lord, I thank you for life, the gift of it, and the fact that we are created to live forever. I thank you for the fact that one day we will be perfectly united. I pray, though, now for those who mourn, for those who have lost those they deeply love and care for. And I just I ask for your mercy. I pray for those who have children with anxiety. I pray for all those with anxiety, really, Lord. This is an epidemic. I don't understand it. I just ask that you go deep and heal the causes of it. Those with depression, Lord, I want to pray for conversion, in particular for all these intentions Mary brought forward. But I give you these needs. You know our wants. You know our desires. You know the crosses and the struggles that we have. Give us the graces to navigate this day and to more fully love you tomorrow and in the days ahead. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for praying with me, Lauren. Thank you for praying with me, too. Every day I pray at this time. And do me a favor, tell one other person. I was thinking about this yesterday. This is such an extraordinarily powerful time of prayer. Cannot tell you how many souls around the country and around the world are gathering with you and me. And we're praying for one another, and God is so delighted. He is so moved. He is so touched. He desires to pour his mercy upon us. Let's get everyone plugged in. All right, let's pray in a big time way. Report back to me, though. Let me know how God is working in your life with those answered prayers. Drew@relevantradio.com. Put in the byline, answered prayer or miracle or whatever you want to put, just so I see it. And you know, write it down. Tell me a couple sentences, a couple paragraphs, whatever you want. You know, I had a conversation yesterday. When I come back, I just want to bring you up to speed on this. It was a conversation about whether or not the consecration of Russia and Ukraine in the world was working. Well, the guest I had on yesterday, because we talked about some scenarios that had happened after the previous one was done, she just sent me an amazing story. Could it be a sign that these prayers are already working? I'll share that with you. And much more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Talk about prayer working, right? We just got done praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I when I heard Pope Francis was going to consecrate Russia, Ukraine, and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I was, all the trepidation, maybe even some of the, maybe anxiety I had regarding the blustering, the saber rattling, the threats of hypersonic weaponry and nuclear strikes that Vladimir Putin was threatening the West with. You never know how things can escalate, how Satan can enter, and how things can get out of control. I mean, who wants to see a third world war? Huh? Who wants to get into that? When Pope Francis did that consecration, I was so relieved because I knew good would come from it. And again, just to give you a perspective here very quickly, nothing is set in stone right? You are called to pray, and you are called to fast and to do penance and to pray for peace in this world. People are saying, hey, has the consecration had any impact? Our Lady herself said that the Second World War could have been avoided had mankind turned back to God. She said that if mankind did not repent, then another world war would occur. World War II could have been avoided. As for conversion of Russia, just to give you a perspective on what happened there, John Paul II consecrates her on March 25th, 1984. A number of other popes leading up to that kind of did, but John Paul's was accepted by Our Lady. That's what Sister Lucia said, and we averted a nuclear war. Was it an anemic, a tardy response to Our Lady's request? Why did it take so long? I think it probably did, right? To the astonishment of the entire world, John Paul does this, right? It's March 25th, 1984. What do you see happening? You see the atheistic Soviet Empire collapse and peacefully vanish, right? This goes away. Leningrad reverted to being St. Petersburg. Christianity returned to Russia. The Berlin Wall came down. A whole generation enjoyed, you know, the freedom to practice faith that, you know, not only in Russia, but in all the former Soviet satellites like Poland and Ukraine, they didn't have that opportunity. Now, faith had returned. You know, Our Lady in Fatima said penance, or no, in Lourdes, she said to Sister, to Subaru, help me out here, Maggie, Subaru, I'm thinking of her, Bernadette, thank you, Bernadette Subaru, I couldn't get her first name out, and she was a nun in the end. Saint Bernadette, she, Our Lady told her, penance, 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 right? That's what the angel in Fatima said with a flaming sword, too, in that third secret. Penance, Our Lady said, will mitigate punishment due to the generations of that particular time in history. And I think it's more relevant than ever that we do the same thing. After these apparitions took place in Akita, Japan in 1973, the Mother of God began appearing again. Same message, called for the need for conversion and penance, reparation for the sins of the world. We were now in an atomic era where the threat of nuclear exchange was just off the charts. I really believe that's 73. She came again, reminding the need for that. What happens? 84, John Paul consecrates Russia. And what happens? That nuclear, the message that Sister Agnes Hasegawa and Akita had about a fire falling from the sky, a large part of humanity being annihilated, I believe it was mitigated by John Paul's consecration. So you see the fruit of consecration. There's no doubt about it. Vladimir Putin is a man of many rumors and many threats. He continues to saber rattle, if you will. U.S. intelligence services have done a remarkable job in what we're now seeing unfold. But I always want to zoom out and look at things in a spiritual way. Our Lady, in one of her famous apparitions, says, I am with you in these days when Satan is fighting for war and hatred. She says, division is strong and evil is at work in man like never before. Satan wants war. He wants war. So what happens? I mean, Pope Francis consecrates Russia to the Immaculate Heart, right? And just to give you some quick history here, I'll tell you, Barb Ernster from the World Apostle of Fatima sent me an article today, which I think might tie into this. She said this, that Russian air defense just shot down one of the most sophisticated warplanes involved in this Russia and wider Ukrainian war. And you may think, well, yeah, who cares? Why is that important? That Russian, you know, shot took down a Russian warplane. Their brand new, fighter bomber. It's cutting edge technology, and it was taken out of the sky. I mean, this thing can strike targets at 600 miles away. Carries 12 tons of bombs and missiles. The supersonic Su-34 is armed with a 30-millimeter cannon. It's got multi-mode radar. It's got all this countermeasure capabilities. Plane costs, I think, $50 million, similar to our F-15A. So why is that important? You know, is that a sign that things are changing? Well, before the Iron Curtain collapsed, and I shared a little bit of this with you yesterday, and I'll just leave you with this thought. It's just an encouragement to pray, just an encouragement to really know that God's at work, even though you might not see it. You know, we had the former president of Russia threatening, you know, Armageddon-type retaliation, you know. Prayer it will protect. Prayer can disengage and not to fear. There was a woman who called the radio show yesterday, and she says, you know, one of the events that happened in 1955 in Austria was a fruit of the prayer. There was a rosary crusade that was formed. 70,000 people joined to pray this rosary. And without one person being killed, without a shot being fired, without any logical explanation, the Soviets who occupied this, the Russian army, decided to withdraw from Austria, right? They left the country on the anniversary date of Fatima, May 13th. And it is the only time that militant atheistic forces, those militant atheistic forces of Marxism, have ever peacefully left a country in which they held power and they held a strategic military position. So I just want to say to you, look, prayer of the chaplet, prayer especially of the rosary, the mass, your prayers from the heart, they're more powerful than guns. They're more powerful than bombs. You know, they're more powerful than any world leader or any army. Prayer can avert wars. It can change the human heart. I mean, we saw that in Austria. You know, in terms of weaponry, maybe this is a pretense, if you will, to what's coming. I shared yesterday that there were several events that unfolded in the Soviet military on very significant Fatima days where bizarre accidents resulted in the explosion of a very powerful new missile that the Soviets were developing. It killed their top scientists and it set them back a couple decades. Again, on a Fatima anniversary, May 13th, there was another rosary crusade. There was a massive explosion. It eliminated two-thirds of their missiles in their northern fleet. You know, the missiles of the Soviet Union's northern fleet. 4 years after that happened, after another prayer vigil, prayer, right? What happened? Another major explosion shut down the Soviets' only missile motor plant. So when I see this story about their cutting-edge technology being shot from the air by themselves, I wonder, is it reflective of what happened historically? And all these things happened before the Iron Curtain ultimately collapsed. Will we see the conversion of Russia? Will we see the conversion of the world? Will peace reign, as Our Lady in Fatima says? Will her Immaculate Heart triumph? My final thought is this, and it's simple. Prayer works miracles. Prayer changes things. Prayer works. It possesses a force. It starts a chain reaction for good, and it's far more powerful than any evil, any weapon, any force that we might know. So I invite you today to learn from these events and to pray. God will hear these prayers, and I believe peace will come not only to your heart, but to the world.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
That's another classic, right? A little Toto there. Hold the line. Good afternoon. It is good to be with you today. Hey, I wanted to touch on just for a few minutes here something that went down in the Greenwood Park Mall. It's located in a suburb of Indianapolis. Happened Sunday night. You might have heard about this. There was a man who walked out of a restroom and started firing at the people in the food court. He killed three people, injured two others, and probably would have taken a lot more lives had it not been for a 22-year-old kid named Elijah Dickin. And he was there in the mall with his girlfriend when the shooter opened fire. Instead of running and hiding and diving and getting the heck out of there, he happened to have a gun on him. He was carrying a handgun in accord with Indiana's constitutional carry law. And he ended the event. He shot and killed this individual. And I thought, let's talk about this for a moment. We can talk about the right to conceal and carry. We can talk about guns in general, but I think also just talking about the morality of personal defense and self-defense and our duty to protect others. You know, gun right advocates have been in front of this story. They're saying he was a good guy, stopped a bad guy with a gun. Big contrast, though, if you are in Texas and or really anywhere in the country, you're instantly aware of Uvalde. And that video there where it shows 376 police officers eventually came to the elementary school. But when they acted, it was way too late. They didn't do anything until about an hour after the shooting started. And a lot of people have lost their children today. I'm joined by Joe Sikora, former actor and stuntman. He was also a police officer with the city of Santa Monica for about 17 years. Now serves as a licensed marriage and family therapist, and it's good to tap into his expertise here. Joe, welcome back. Thanks for, again, joining us.
Drew, what a great topic. I wish we had about 2 hours to have this conversation and involve the listeners. I want to talk about it, actually, from three aspects. One, as a former police officer, I think about the tactics, the courage of this young man to confront somebody with a long gun to go in, right? I mean, just tactically, it's fascinating and interesting to me how this young man acted. And they're both kids, you know, right? The guy was referred to as the Good Samaritan who actually took down the shooter. It was really interesting, as you know, it was the gospel 2 weeks ago. The second aspect that I think is very interesting is from the therapeutic thing, from the eyes of a therapist, right, which I'm also a therapist now. And I look at these two individuals. I don't know a lot about either one of them. But the shooter, right, the initial gunman who killed those innocent people, he enters the mall alone. He lived alone. He lived a life of isolation and separation from what I know, from what I've seen in reports. But the third aspect is what I think is most relevant and interesting to me. And that's from, and your last segment is a perfect segue to talk about it from this perspective, is the perspective of faith. Now, what does that mean to me? Because when I read about this story, I thought, wow, that's really amazing and what great courage. But you and I are actually asked to act in the same way, to act with this same kind of courage, right? It's fascinating that they call him the Good Samaritan. Yeah. But I think we probably won't get involved in a shooting. Even as a police officer, I didn't have to shoot anybody. I'm grateful that. I had to use a lot of force and violence and confronted a lot of violent people. But, you know, the chances are we don't have to get too upset because we're probably not going to encounter somebody with a gun in a store. But we will be asked by God to live courageously. And this young man acted, obviously, with extraordinary courage. But I think that's the story that you and I, all of us are asked to live, is to live out our faith from a courageous, faith-filled standpoint. And that's the point that I think is most interesting to me, at least.
Yeah, no, I could not agree with you more, Joe. It's so much to unpack here. You're right. We could have spent 2 hours talking about this. Your thoughts, though, on what we saw happen here in Indianapolis versus what you saw in Uvalde. There was a massive police failure there. My concern sometimes is it could lead people to become vigilantes. You know, I mean, what this one kid did in Indianapolis saved a lot of lives. And I do get concerned that some people think, hey, I'm going to pack in church. I'm going to pack in the store. I'm going to pack in the restaurant. I just wonder because not everybody's balanced. You know what I mean? I had a friend who was not right. I don't think the guy was right years ago. And he had this hero complex, and he would walk around with a loaded gun. And I'm thinking this guy couldn't get out of his way, you know, if somebody was pushing him. You know, he was really just in a bad way. And I thought this is a guy who would pull his gun out and shoot somebody and then think afterwards, you know. So your thoughts on that? I mean, like your perspective on where you see this type of thing going and even morally what our obligation is to not just defend ourselves but others.
Yeah. I'm not too concerned. You know, every time the government starts talking about taking guns, what happens? Everybody goes buys guns. So they're always, if they want to get guns out of the hands of people, stop talking about it. But I do think we have a moral obligation to live courageously, to defend ourselves and defend others. Now, I don't think you need a gun. And in fact, in all likelihood, you probably, if you're asked to act courageously, you won't have a gun. But I think, you know, when I was listening to this story, I thought, like, to the book of Deuteronomy. I love the book of Deuteronomy, probably my favorite book in the Old Testament. And Moses, as you know, is one giant sermon, basically, and he's getting ready to tell the people, go out and take the promised land. And he said, be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated, don't give them a second thought. Why? Because God is right there ahead of you. He's right there with you. And I think, again, wherever you are, whether you're a gun owner or a non-gun owner, you will be asked to live courageously, to live out your faith. You've got to be courageous. Now, as you know, again, and this isn't a tangent, because this is really what I thought about when I was thinking about the shooter, is here the people were going to be led into the promised land, but they were facing literally giants. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned. They were outorganized. But the people of Israel, who became the people of Israel, right? They were following God. And I think if we actually embrace that aspect, if we embrace that side of faith, then we can live courageously. I don't think it's so much like, you know, should we all be armed or not? But I think we do have a call to live courageously. How do we do that? We arm ourselves with the faith. I know that's not a direct answer to the question that you asked.
I love it.
That's how I look at it.
There's a lot of truth there. We'll go to the phones. We only have a few minutes. My guest today, Joe Socorro. Grab a pen and paper, too. I want to check. If you enjoy him, I want to get you connected to him, okay? I'll make sure I get that in before we run out of time. But Danny's listening in Oakland, California. Danny, hi, you're on the air with Joe. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a question. Like, okay, so if someone's shooting, right, and then there's a good guy with a gun to take them out, aren't they murderers as well?
It's a good question. All right, let's Joe, talk about it for a little bit. First of all, the catechism is pretty clear on this, and there's a whole section on legitimate defense, and I would encourage people to check that out. If I remember correctly, I think it's 2265 where it says that legitimate defense can be not only a right but a grave duty for one who's responsible for the lives of others. I mean, what this man did. And look, we have to also be very, let me qualify this before I go any further. We can't be vigilantes, and taking a life, killing a human being is always a grave issue. It should never, ever be taken lightly. But the catechism, the teaching of the church will go on to explain this fundamental principle of morality is love and preservation of yourself when it's in self-defense, and love towards others in the case of this man who ultimately saved this guy from injuring countless others. So, yeah. He was legitimate. It's not murder in this case. But, Joe, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I would say this. The short answer is no, that's not murder. There's a legal definition to it. But I would challenge the caller to look at it this way. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if you have children or a little sister or brother. But if somebody was attacking you and your family, wouldn't you feel that you had a moral obligation to protect them, to go as far as you needed? No farther than you needed, no further than you needed. So in other words, if somebody slaps you or slaps your child or something, you can't kill them, but you can use appropriate force to stop that threat. If that goes up to and includes actually using deadly force, which yep. God forbid, but sometimes it happens, that's certainly not murder. Murder is the unlawful taking of a life, not the lawful protection to defend somebody.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call. I got to leave it there because I have about a minute and a half left, and I will revisit this issue. I'm so glad to have you call in, and my apologies to everyone else on hold. Joe, I want to make sure that I give you a platform. You've been coming by the show recently, and I want to make sure people get connected to you, your book, your story, and how can they follow you if they want more info?
Well, I think, first of all, I love talking to you. I love being on your show. You have a great audience, so anytime. I guess the easiest way to find out or keep up with what I'm doing is go to my website, joesocorro.com. There's information there. There's links to buy my book, Defying Gravity. You can find me on YouTube. I do podcasts. You can find them on Apple and Spotify. I try to do a couple a week at least. And I talk about all sorts of things, marriage and depression and anxiety and violence and everything else. So I'm kind of all over the place. But I love being here with you most of all.
Likewise. So your book is available, I know, on Amazon. And, of course, people can – and the book, by the way, Defying Gravity, How Choosing Joy Lifts My Family from Death to Life, if you're going through a difficult time. So, you know, Joe, my wife was asking me about that book because I know I had endorsed – I think Patrick Madrid endorsed it also. And there was a number of people you had do that. My wife was wondering about your other son. How is he doing right now? Because doesn't he have the same disease?
Yeah, he does. He, you know, he's outlived my first son by several years. Ben, my youngest, is now 27. John passed away when he was 24. He's in the arms of the Lord and doing real great there. Can't wait to see him again. And Ben is doing fine. He's, you know, it's a challenge every day. We have to learn how to pick up our cross, but we're challenged to love through the difficulty. That's Amen. The glory of our faith. That's God's call, is to pick up your cross and follow. You know, that's my cross, but I do it joyfully.
Hey, brother, thank you for your witness. I hope everyone will check you out. Check out Joe Secora. Check out his book. It's a good read, Defying Gravity. We'll talk again soon, Joe, and we will have you in our prayers. Remember us, too, all right? I'll be right back. Stay with me.